So before I knew that I was going to go to Missouri to help Mom move, I had talked to Sherry, and I said, I really would like you to speak during the holiday season. And then when Mom called and said, hey, the place is available, can we move? I was like, I'm already glad Sherry's speaking. So I promise I'm not going to fall asleep because I'm looking forward to your word. I got about 4 hours of sleep last night, and so, but it's good to be here today. Sherry, would you bring the word with us? Yeah.
Thank you. I know we've had a lot of prayer this morning, but I love prayer. You can never have too much prayer. So can we just close our eyes and pray? Lord God, I just thank you, Father God, for this your people that are meeting and gathering today, Lord God. Lord, I pray that your word that you want them to hear, the seeds that you have for them would be planted in the soil of their hearts that you have already tilled, you have planted, Lord God, for this seed. And Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your son. We thank you for your greatness. We thank you that you are mighty God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So I love the series that Pastor Tim has been preaching week after week here these last 3 weeks. And I love their joy for Christmas and their joy and their celebration, him and Pastor JJ. But as I was preparing this morning, and I know we're a week away. Is there anyone besides me not ready for Christmas? Okay, good. I have a few hands that are with me. But I've discovered that through these series, that God is redefining within my life and within my family's life what Christmas means to us and what Christmas is all about. Because when you have, I've shared with some of you, or if you've heard before, a little bit of my story that I have 5 children. So, you know, long ago when there was 5 children, I was a stay-at-home mom. I could be home and I could decorate and I'll get all the presents wrapped in time. And Christmas just came and it was just joyful and the kids loved the decorations. But we're in a different season now. And so I love these sermons and this series because as I'm redefining, God's redefining what Christmas means to me and what Christmas bringing back what it should mean to each of us as followers of Christ. So the first week, we got to hear how hope guides us. And Pastor Tim had the question of, where do you need to let the Lord bring hope to you? I hope that you had an opportunity to process that and think about that. Because I know I have. Where is that hope and that joy? And to make sure that I'm aligned with Christ. I need to be aligned with him for him to lead me and guide me. Today's sermon is Love Leads Us. The second week we talked about peace fills us and asking the question, where do you need to let the Lord bring peace to you? Are you feeling peaceful in this season? Or has the season kind of like brought some anxiety and I got to get this present and I got to get that present and I have to check off this box? Because I'll be honest, for me, I hope it's okay that I speak from my heart this morning, that for me, I've had to, like, check off the box. Okay, did I do this? Check this box. Check that box. Okay, I got to check that box. And I've kind of lost my joy in the season because I'm just checking off the boxes. Can anyone relate to me? Or am I on my... Okay, good. Good, good. Okay, I got some of you still with me. All right, and then the third week, last week, we got to hear how joy strengthens us and asking, where do you need to let the Holy Spirit bring joy to you? And this is an ongoing one for me, is of the joy of the Lord and letting him fill me and letting him strengthen me. And so I love this one. It means so much to me that last year, actually it was 2 years ago, I decided to make myself a joy wall because I'm a visual learner and I need, and so I just made this wall and it just has the word joy, joy, joy. Anywhere, any sign I can find that says joy or spell out the words joy. And Kelly Panette, actually this year, I'm like, oh, can you make me a joy sign for my joy wall? So each year I can just put that joy to remind me that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I need that joy. Again, it's aligning myself with him to have him fill me with joy and to know that he is my strength. He brings me that joy. Because there's nothing else in this world that's going to bring me joy. There's not enough money. There's not, you know, I'm happy that my family is healthy. And yes, that makes me happy. But the joy of the Lord is joy that no matter what the circumstances that you're going through, it's the joy of the Lord that will get you through every single trial, every single circumstance. It's that strength of his joy upon you. So this week, we're going to talk about love leads us. And my question to you is where do you need the love of God to lead you? So that's different places for us. Is love filling us to that place that love is going to lead us? The only way that can happen is if we're abiding with him, when we're walking with him. So the one thing that Disney got absolutely right, and Disney does not get the credit for this whatsoever, okay? But what they got right is that, let me get this straight, I want to make sure, this biblical godly principle is that love conquers all, it breaks every curse, and that nothing can stand against it. Okay, so do we have any parents here that have watched those Disney movies over and over and over again? Okay, having five girls, I can't tell you how many Disney movies I saw with Snow White and Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty, but love conquers all. Love breaks every curse, and that nothing can stand against it. We even sang about it this morning, and I just love our worship team. Thank you, worship team, for just allowing the Lord to just flow through you, because we didn't plan. I didn't say, okay, Jason and Lacey, can you play these songs, because this is what I'm preaching on this morning. So I just love how just God, mighty God, just does it himself. He just works through us so powerfully that he leads the message today, the worship, the words that we heard, he just orchestrates all of it. That's our mighty God. So my question was, how does it lead us? I know I need God to lead me in my everyday. 1 John 4:16 tells us, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. My girls are... with Star Wars. Was there any Star Wars fans here? This is interaction. I need interaction today. So you guys remember, I like that interaction. All right, my Star Wars fans. So they're getting ready for go see the new Star Wars movie. And so we had to watch Rogue One the other day. And actually, I just kind of popped in and out. But there's this scene where this man, he's the blind man, and they're on the beach, and there's a battlefield going on. And somebody needed to get to the other side to pull the lever, and this middle of a battle, and they're shooting and all this stuff, and he just starts saying, he says, I am one with the Force, and the Force is with me. And he just walks across, and nothing affects him, right? So as I walk with God, and even my girls were asking me this morning, so Mom, how are you doing this morning? I said, I am one with God, and God is with me. I am one with God, and God is with me. And that's how my everyday, I have to live my life. I tend to be kind of a melancholy person and process things, and in my world, being a processor, I have to like just remember that I am one with God, and he is with me, no matter what my trial and what my circumstance is. I'm going to share a little bit of my story in how he leads me personally. But every one of us has our own story. And I think, and you need to remember that your stories are powerful and they're just as important. And when I was, some of you know that, we are a church that has, I guess a sister church that has come from Grace Capital Church. And I was with Grace Capital Church for 21 years. And I went on staff at that church in 2011. And God began stirring in me about 2015 that he was doing something new within me. Now, the only way I could understand that stirring is if I was abiding in God and seeking him and following after him. And otherwise, I wouldn't hear him. If I didn't spend time in his word, I wouldn't hear him. I wouldn't know his voice. The word says, and I'm sorry, I can't remember where it is because this is just coming as a download, but the sheep will know the shepherd's voice. So the only way for us to hear his voice is to know him. And the only way to know him is to be in his word, reading his word, being among other followers, growing in his word, and growing among one another. Because sometimes I always pray, Lord, put someone in my life that's a little bit farther along in the word and their walk with you so that they can help me grow even deeper with you in that relationship. So being there and that stirring that was coming and stirring that something different was coming and following that leading because he loves me and he wants to lead me, it was time for me to go. And sometimes when God leads us, when his love leads us, we're like, absolutely, for me, it's like, absolutely, Lord, I want to go where you want me to go. I want to do what you want me to do, but I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going to trust you. And I had to give, I gave my resignation knowing and trusting that God had something for me. Now, at that time, there was another church that came out of Grace Capital of Restoration, Foursquare Church, maybe some of you heard, and they were planting a church. And I said, okay, I felt God leading me to go there. So I came off of staff. Now, when you're on staff, you get, where I was at Grace Capital, I was paid full-time staff. So I had to trust the Lord that, okay, Lord, what, you know, I prayed about it. My husband and I prayed about it. We knew it was time for me to go, but I had to fill that space, that financial burden with another place. So it's trusting him to lead me. Okay, God, where are you leading me now? And again, it was that abiding in him and trusting him that he was going to lead me to where he wanted me to go. So I'm currently working at an elementary school in Concord and here on staff at Laconia Foursquare Church and going to school. And it's trusting him that he's leading me where he wants me to go. But I need to abide in him with that. Now, from there, at Restoration, I was there about a year, and that stirring really never went away. But there was some things that he needed to do in me. So do I think it was a mistake? Absolutely not. When God leads you, he leads you to a place for a reason. And you can never look back and say, well, was that a mistake, God? Did I not hear you? But if you're abiding in him, if you're in his word, if you're seeking counsel, if you're praying, you're fasting, you're going to know that in that circumstance, he had me right where he wanted me when I was at Restoration Foursquare Church. There was some healing that he needed to do within me, and he knew he couldn't do it anywhere else. But he also knew that I needed to be among a church family as well as he was doing that healing, and he was leading me, and he was guiding me, and his love was pouring out of me of, I hear you. I hear your cry. I know you're stirring. I know you're not sure, but just trust me. Trust me. Again, the sheep will hear the shepherd's voice. So from there, this last spring, I got a phone call, and Pastor Peter Bonanno, who's our Foursquare District Supervisor, said, you know, we have a need for you up here in Laconia. Would you pray about God's, you know, if maybe God is leading you up here? And we, my husband and I came and we prayed and we left here. And it was like this, it was just, I can't even express this, like, it was, all right, this is, I guess what's coming to mind, it was like this, this like light bulb kind of came on of like, okay, that was like amazing. And so sometimes, I want to go back to that year of just waiting and praying and searching, because I actually said to the Lord, I'd like, Lord, maybe I'm not to be in ministry anymore. Maybe this is a time that I need to let, I just need to lay this all my hopes, all my dreams, all my desires at the foot of your cross, and I just need to trust you and let your love lead me and guide me where you want me. And if it's not in ministry anymore and if it's someplace else, that I know that you're not going to fail me. He will never fail us. He will never leave us, and he will never fail us. He is always with us. He leads us, and he guides us. And so I had to trust that. But as he brought us here, I realized that he has me right where he wants me right now, and we can't be more ecstatic. But this is my story. And if there's ever a time that I could ever meet with any of you, I'd love to hear what your stories are, because in our stories, it's where he transforms us. He meets us there. So again, John 4:16 tells us God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Love is the most powerful thing on earth. Love is so powerful that Scripture tells us that God is love. Love breaks curses. It breaks bondage and anger. It leads us into relationship with the Father. The Father wants to have a relationship with us. He sent us Jesus because he wants us to have that fullness, that relationship with him. Jesus loves us so much. One of my very first memory verses I ever memorized. And for a long time, it was the only one I memorized because memorization was really hard for me. I don't know if anyone else. Anyone else? Here we go. Anyone else struggle with memorization? And I, for a long time as an adult, I'd have to have my Rolodex cards, and I would just fill it with memory verses to just help me try to memorize verses. But my first one I ever memorized is John 3:16. And it was for, and you guys know it. If you know it, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, sent his son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is what we're celebrating in this season, that God sent his one and only son. I was listening to a song this morning, and it just reminded me, the song is called Reckless Love, and if you haven't heard it, listen to it. Because it's talking about the reckless love of God, and not that God is reckless, not at all, but to us in our human minds, reckless, in God's recklessness, reckless, he went out for the one. He left the 100 so he could go out for the one and save them. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he loves that one. He loves every single one of us so much that he would go out for us. There might be someone here that might kind of feel like that one. They might be sitting on the fence of like, I don't know this Jesus you're talking about, or I've known him, but yeah, this is a bunch of yada yada stuff. And God is saying that he is here for you. He's here for the one. And if you're feeling like the one, or you may have someone that is the one that you're praying for. I have two ones. I love this song because it just reminds me that, yes, God, you're faithful, and you're going to go after those two daughters that have walked away because they're one of the ones. And your love is reckless that you would actually leave the 99 to go save them and that you have not forgotten them. So if there is anyone here today that is feeling like the one, or you have a family member that is maybe the one, don't forget, God, his love is reckless, and he's going to go after them. Amen. We are to love God. Yep. We are to love God, believe in him, and confess him as our Savior. For love to lead us, we need to abide in that love. It's an action. We need to do something about it. We can't. It's awesome that God loves us. You know, my girls that walked away, God loves them, but there needs to be an action part on their part. He'll keep chasing them, but they need at some point to say, okay, God loves me. I want to walk with him. I want to surrender to him. I want him back in my life. We need to be in that relationship with God. We need to seek the mighty God. Mighty God chose us. He chose to use love to lead us when he could have chosen anger. He could have chosen fear. Sometimes we read in the Old Testament and we're like, holy moly, like God seemed really angry, right? But God loved us. He came. God is love. Scripture tells us God is love. So he could have chose anger. He could have chose fear. He could have chosen guilt or condemnation. But the word says in John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, through love, because God is love. My grandfather, he's passed away. He was 89 when he passed away. And he was an Assemblies of God pastor. And in the end, he died of congestive heart failure, but he also had Alzheimer's. And so when I would go and visit him in the hospital, he didn't remember me, but this is the amazing thing that I just absolutely love about this story, is that he would always ask me, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do you know that he died for your sins? Do you know? And I would be like, yes, Papa. Yes, Papa, I do. And so, you know, and then I would sit, and a nurse would come in, And he would say the same thing. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do you know he loves you? Do you know he died for your sins? And every single time I went, and every single nurse that would come in, he would ask the same question. And it just would baffle me. And even today, like, he can't remember me. But he remembers that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for his life and to save others. And it always just touches me. It always inspires me that just God loved us so much that he did that for us. Matthew 22, 36 to 39 says, when asked what the greatest commandment was, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And I'm going to skip over to John 13, 34. Jesus tells his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Love leads us. Love leads us to love one another. And sometimes in this world, that can be hard, right? Especially in this season, I think we have that parking spot and somebody bolts in it, you know, we're like, oh, or we have to walk, you know, it feels like a mile away to get into the store, or we're trying to get all that shopping done and check those boxes, those people like me, that you kind of feel like you kind of lose that love. But the word says that we are to love one another. We're to be disciples, and that's how people will know that Christ lives in us. That we're followers of Christ is by our example, by us walking and being disciples of Jesus and loving one another. Jesus wants us to follow his example. Love is the distinguishing mark of Jesus' disciples. It is what sets us apart. It is from a wholehearted response to all that God is and has done for us. It means that love is central to the whole way of life of the follower of Jesus. These two great commandments are not mutually exclusive, for if one loves God, he will love what God loves. Love leads us to love one another. John 15:9 says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in me." How does God lead you? How do we love what God loves? We need to abide in him. We need to be in a relationship with him. Love is powerful. It breaks bondages. It breaks curses. It breaks strongholds. It directs our path. It guides us. Love leads us every single day. I work with a gentleman that is, his political views are very, very strong. And they're so strong, and he knows I'm a Christian. And for some reason, he follows me. He finds me. He finds me out. And to the it's almost like this berating. Like, how can you call yourself a Christian? Like, I've never experienced, as a Christian, someone attacking me for my faith. But in his... He does. He attacks me for, how can you be a Christian and vote for who you voted for? How can you not know what's going on in the world and yet you call yourself a Christian? And this is like almost every day, to the point that I'm like, why am I here, God? Why have you placed me here? And I've actually sought out, like, okay, maybe there's someplace else I can go that's much more peaceful than being here. And in that time of seeking out something else, God showed me, but Sherry, this is your mission field. And you're being, these attacks, these are nothing. You just need to abide in me. I am one with God, and God is with me, and I am one with God. God abides in me. This last encounter, he actually said to me, when I said to him, I'm not so into all this political stuff. I said, because I don't put my hope in a president. I don't put my hope in a man. I don't put my hope in my senators, and I pray for them, but my hope is not in them. My hope is not in them. And I said, my hope is that I know that where I'm going, eternity, I have eternity in Jesus Christ because he saved me. And he actually said to me, exact words, "You really believe in that stuff?" And I just, actually, it was a moment that the joy of the Lord actually really did come over me. I was like, yes, yes, I believe in that stuff. If I didn't believe in that, then what would it be the purpose? So I ask you, do you believe in that stuff? Because what would be the purpose of Jesus coming, God sending his son to die on the cross for us, if we didn't believe in it? The word says in Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword." Ephesians 6, "The word of God is the sword of the Spirit." Yes, I believe in this stuff. And I hope when you leave today, you can say, yes, I believe in everything that word says, that this is the infallible, true word of God. I had one of my daughters come home from college, her first year, my oldest, come home from a Christian college at Thanksgiving. And she had us all in an uproar because she says, literally almost the moment she walked in the door, "The Bible's just a bunch of made-up stories." And we were like, what? What are you saying? And it had us all in an uproar. But you know what? I believe what this word says. It is true. It is our life. It is God's way of saying, letting us know how much he loves us, his character, his truth, who he is. Yes, amen. I believe, and I hope you believe too. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Mighty God chose to use love to lead us. Mighty God, in the Moody Commentary, tells us, "The king will have God's true might upon him, being so powerful so as to be able to absorb all evil and defeat it." This is love. Love being so powerful that it conquers death. It raises the dead. It transforms lives, and all evil is defeated. Love is the most powerful thing on earth. Lazarus was dead in the grave for 4 days before Jesus came to him. But that wasn't the end of his story. And we all have a story. And God is leading us and loving us, and he's leading us through that. But Lazarus' story, those people around him thought he was dead. It was over for them. But as we walk with God and as we abide with him, we learn that our stories are not over. God is not done with us yet. And there was a theme, there was something said this morning about that. And I just want to confirm that word that God is saying. He's not done with us. Jason, if you could come. Where do you need love to lead you today? It might be, Lord, I need love to help me really forgive this person because I'm really struggling with them in my life. Relationships are difficult. They can be. And we need the love of God to lead us, to help us, to love others, because that's what followers of Christ and those who abide in him do. How about hope? Are we struggling with having hope? But God will lead us. The love of God will lead us to have hope. It leads us to joy and strength and peace. How about our marriages? Sometimes marriages, well, I can't say sometimes. I've been married almost 22 years, and this is for you to interact with me. Marriage can be hard. Am I the only one that thinks that marriage can be hard? Okay, I didn't see many hands. It's okay. All right, so that's just me and that one other person that raised their hand. But we have these expectations that we set. Or maybe it's, you know, these unmet needs, maybe at work, in our home, in our lives. Maybe it's from our childhood that we still carry. But as I started this morning, love breaks every curse. Love breaks bondages. Love defeats evil. It is God's love for us. And that's why he sent his son, to make sure we knew that he loves us so much that he sent his son for us, because he loves us. And sometimes understanding that love can be hard. Lord, my prayer for this congregation right now is that they would know your love and not a human love. If we could bow our heads. close your eyes. I pray that you would just have this time right now with the Father, because he wants to abide in you. He wants to fill you with his love. He wants you to know God's love, not human man's love. Man's love will fail us every single time. He wants us to know God's love, which is all powerful. It defeats evil. It breaks curses and bondages. It leads us. Even when man says, you made a mistake. You shouldn't have done that. But you know, God's love, when we're abiding in him, he leads us to a fullness and a joy that is beyond any human understanding. So with every eye closed and heads bowed, and as you just pray your hearts open to him right now, if there's anyone here that does not know this love of Jesus Christ as their Savior and wants to know Jesus as their Savior, that wants to say, I want this God. I want this God in my life. I want Jesus. I want his fullness. I want to know this love. I want to abide in him. Would you just raise your hand so that we can pray for you? I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Now I ask that in this season, if you're feeling like, Lord, I've just lost my hope. I don't have joy. I'm struggling. I just need your peace, Lord God. I need your love. Any one of those things that these sermons have just spoken into these last few weeks. You want more of. You're saying, Lord, I need your love. I need your love to lead me. I need your peace. I need your joy. I really want to walk through this season knowing the joy of the Lord and your hope, the true season of what this is about, not what society's made it about. If you just want this, if you just want this love, this joy, this peace, this strength, you should just raise your hands and we can pray for you. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you for your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we love you. Lord, help us to abide in you. Help, Lord, lead us, Lord God. Lord, we know what your word says. Let us know, let us be able to say, yes, I believe in every single word that's in that Bible that you have sent us, that you have given us to teach us. I believe. Thank you, Jesus. Can you pray with me, church? Lord God, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you sent your son to die on the cross for me and my sins. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, please fill me with hope. Please fill me with your joy. Fill me with your peace. And fill me with your love that leads me every day. Father, I want to abide in you as you abide in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, church, if you could just stand. I've been working on my benediction. Stretch out your hands. Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in the sight through Jesus Christ to be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, congregation. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here this morning. We hope you have a fabulous day. On your way out, we have a gift for every family. So you can just make sure Pastor Tim and Mary Catherine are at the doors. Make sure you grab that. And we just hope you have a fabulous day, and hopefully we'll see you tonight.